H-Z-Go.
I used to say I'm the boss.
Yeah.
They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say that the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know,
I'm Saint Nation. Nation.
Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really.
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Whoop, whoop.
He's a can.
Yeah.
I mean, they know what's popping in the field. Yeah. B's and B-boys. Uh-huh. Saints. B's and B-boys. I love this book.
There it is. Welcome in. Another week, another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew recording here live at the SEC Sports Pub. With me, as usual, to my right, Heath Elsenson.
Hello.
To my left, Tomas Mauricio. I'm Dave Romero. And for the next hour, we're going to be talking more Saints and useless information that anybody needs to know about. So from Ruston to Monroe, Farmerville to Jonesboro, grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're about to do the SEC Sports Pub and Sports Talk 97.7 FM, BS and Beer style. Gentlemen, it's Thanksgiving. Look, Tomas comes in, he brings all, I know what you did, you're trying to act all generous. You got all this candy, this Easter candy at your house,
yeah.
And you bring it in like you've been all gracious and everything. So I still appreciate it, though.
Yeah.
I have more junk today.
I made it all the way through without eating a single piece of candy.
Until you got here, right?
And then I've been bombarded with three different people today. Oh, look, I got, you know.
I got an email here from Earl. He said, my wife.
Earl?
Earl.
All right. Is that what you put in your car, Earl?
Some Earl, some Motor Earl. My name is. He says, my wife bought the kids Easter chickens. Have you ever seen that, little chicks?
They paint them in different colors and they die.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got to tell you. And then he says, all I could think about is how much goodwill that would create for Don Bobo come September whenever they grow up
a little bit.
There
you go, yeah.
There you go, there you go.
All right.
We'll make it that far, but okay. Nice try.
This might tell you the difference between kids nowadays and when I was a kid. When I was a little boy, I don't know how old I was, but I couldn't have been very old, man. It had to be under seven. And my parents got, and I don't remember how much further after, but you know, the chickens had kind of grown up and you can tell it kind of had that blue haze. You know, it wasn't blue anymore. It was just kind of like under the feathers, still had a little tint to it.
Yeah.
And my grandfather just walked up to that chicken, was like, swung it around. It was like,
snap.
Ah! You want to talk about traumatic? I mean, if they did that now, man, I mean, that would be all over CNN.
Oh, God,
I mean,
yeah.
Dude, it would be
social services.
You'd probably go to jail for mental abuse.
But I mean, seriously, it was like, oh, it's my chicken. Like, my face just dropped, and I was like,
well, you were hungry, weren't you?
Well, you know, you got to eat. That's
there you go.
Gotta eat. So.
None of mine ever made it that far.
No,
you pet him too much. You're like, what's that? Hug him and squeeze him and love him.
George.
Just like to call him George and love him like he was my very own.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I snapped that neck long before they got big enough.
But not on purpose. Just that thumb, just like, what happened?
Go get the pink one.
Or Dumb and Dumber was like, here, birdie.
Yeah,
birdie.
See, now y'all are younger than I am, but they used to have that every Easter at Schwegman's. For those people who remember Schwegman's.
I remember Schwegman's.
On Airline Highway, they would have a little area in the middle of the parking lot where they'd sell the colored chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And if you wanted rabbits, there was a flower shop, very famous flower shop on St. Charles Avenue called Schunick's. And they sold flowers, but for Easter season, they had a big cage outside with rabbits. And you can go and buy a rabbit.
My mama done told me to bring home a rabbit.
There you go.
Yeah, all right.
And what's he cooking, Doc?
You.
Rabbit stew. My favorite.
All right. So, listen, I think it's funny. Just today, I read about Drew Brees.
Oh, I see now you took away what I was going to talk about.
Oh, man, I don't mess it up. Go ahead.
I was just going to tell people, you know, that Dave here has come into a little money. And so, you know, I was wondering, well, Dave, what are you going to do? He tell me, you know, I'm thinking about getting something for my girl, you know, just a little something special for her, you know. I said, really? He goes, yeah, you know, there's this place out in San Diego where you can get a really good deal. And I said, brother, you must not have talked to Drew Brees lately.
Oh, man. Hey,
there you go.
Listen, I'm not quite on that level. I have those same kind of problems that Drew has.
Yeah, you do.
But I was talking to Rollo at Discount Pawn Shop, and I swear he owes. I bought this ring. It was all. It was like a, it was like $68. And
that's
I,
right.
And come to find out, it was only worth about $30.
There you
and
go.
And I mean, a lawsuit right there. I didn't know you could do those kind of things. I don't know. The whole thing seems a little. I'm sure there's more detail to it. But listen. You got to get that stuff cleared up. I don't care if you Drew Brees or me at Rollo's Discount Pawn Shop. How are you going to sue somebody because it ain't worth what you thought it would be worth later on down the road? So,
well, how do you have that kind of money? You buy whatever it is that he bought and not have it appraised before you write the final check.
Yeah.
You know, see this thing I got on my finger here?
Uh-huh.
I had it appraised before I bought it
right.
40 years ago. 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I bought it from a... you know, supposedly reputable jeweler in, mm-hmm. in New Orleans. Mm-hmm.
Rollo's Discount Pawn Rollo's Shop, yeah.
Right.
All right.
And but we had it appraised, and it appraised for more than what we're buying it for. So I was like, good deal. Let's
good
buy.
Deal, right.
So, yeah, and this is not millions of bucks. So how are you spending $8 million and you don't get it appraised? Really?
No, I mean, listen, I'm not a, listen, I'm not a worldly person who, like, deals in the, how diamonds can advance your portfolio. I'm not that guy, but like if you got the millions that Drew Brees has earned over his career,
yeah.
Is that a thing? I mean, like I'm just gonna go buy a big bag of diamonds and they appreciate. And I mean, I'm certain. I'm trying to be funny in my delivery,
markets,
but it's a real question.
No, in yeah. certain markets, fine jewels have a different kind of sale and resale. Just like you see all these people with the bitcoins or these people that buy gold coins or silver coins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a different kind of world for people that invest that way rather than putting their Benjamins in a bank account.
Right.
You know, so
yeah, it seems a little strange. So last week I had a list. We had so much stuff, action-packed show.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to everything.
I got something to say about last week's short, too. And, but
okay,
ahead,
well, you know, we'll have time to talk about
yeah, okay,
that, but thanks
so.
For your input. One of the things I didn't really get to was Sean Payton's press conference. I think I alluded to it at the beginning of the show like I'm doing now,
yeah.
But, man, it's blown up now. So Lamar Jackson and that whole thing. And I yeah. think that there's going to be some spirited debate. Matter of fact, I might as well just knock it out here. My second email that I got from Cornell, it says, if the Saints draft Lamar Jackson, I'll go directly to the Saints facility and burn it down.
Jeez.
All right, Cornell, yeah, I'm yeah. going to have to turn this into the authorities.
I was about to
hey,
say
man, see, that's a little bit strong.
I hope it's not his real name.
No, right. I mean, I got his email address there, so I think that's a little strong.
Did he say his name was Brother Don Cornelius?
I don't know.
You
but
know Brother Don Cornelius was, don't you?
Soul Train.
You
it's
know,
the.
Yeah.
I don't have the
Soul
false
Soul Train.
All right. And hey, where are you from, brother? And your name? I don't know why. The only reason I know that is because it came on right after the cartoons when I was a kid.
Yeah,
it's not
yeah,
like
yeah,
now. You
yeah.
have 24/7 cartoons all over the place. When I was a kid,
yeah.
you had morning cartoons.
Yeah.
And
that,
like you wake up and it was the U.S. Farm Report at 6:30. You had to be ready to go for game time
that's
at 7.
Right. That's right.
And then right after is like the Soul Train. And he had the same interviews.
What was the last cartoon of Saturday morning? Remember?
Man,
you were young. It might not
to
have been
me, it progressively got worse. And I think because when I did that, I was so young. I think it started off with the little bitty kids cartoons,
yeah.
the Laugh Olympics and stuff like that, and progressed yeah. into
the older cartoons
right. which
yeah, so from
I
my
remember. Was it Popeye?
No, Johnny yeah. Quest was the last.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
Johnny
yeah,
Quest
yeah,
would be
yeah.
the last cartoon because it was a more,
yeah.
you know, it was a little older yeah. kids. And then after that, then things changed. But now in New Orleans, the big show also was John Pila. Remember John Pila?
No.
See, now I'm showing my age.
On
WWL, they used to have a sort of a dance thing, a
yeah.
Dance party kind of thing.
Okay.
And it was, you know, in New Orleans, a New Orleans version of it. And so it was really,
well,
you know.
I think the only thing I remember from his interviews, and it didn't hit me as a kid, but as I got older, it's like he only asked, like, and what's your name?
Yeah.
Where you from? Yeah. What you gonna say
go,
for us?
And yeah. now,
all right, right, and then you do
now.
It, and then go on, and then a little bit later, we
yeah.
got somebody. And what's your name?
Yeah,
and where you from? And that's and dude probably made
yeah.
bank, and that's all
oh,
he
yeah.
did back
yeah.
in the day, man.
Back
he's
day.
Like he was the early version of
he wasn't
Ryan
the
ho- Seacrest.
He wasn't the host that Danny Terrio was.
No, Dance Fever. That's a whole nother level of
yeah,
entertainment.
There you go.
It's so. I mean, look, we have. So much stuff to talk about. Not sure if we can have enough for a bonus show.
Yes, we do.
But listen, I know you can talk.
Yeah.
But I got things to do. So check it out. If you miss any portion of the show, you're going to want to go to iTunes or Google Play or Podbean and you're going to want to download the show so you don't miss any part of it. You can catch it later. Whatever you want to do, it's there for you. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio here on Sports Talk 97.7. Don't go anywhere. We just getting this train rolling.
Soul Train!
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coonass.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free. The BS and Beer podcast. Free. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, and the SEC Sports Pub. What, you got some jokes over there laughing at me?
No.
Y'all finally nail it. I get it. I'm finally getting it down, and y'all still find a way to laugh at me. I'm okay with it.
That's what it is.
You're laughing with me. I like that. It's the soul.
That's a surprise laughter.
Okay. Oh, yeah, surprise that I got it right. All right. I told you sooner or later we're going to do the, what do you call those, the outtakes?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that would be a whole show.
Absolutely.
A whole show. All right.
What's your name, bro?
So one
and your name?
All right. That's how we get, we got to bring that back. We're going to talk to somebody and be like, and your name? Next week, that's how I'm going to introduce you guys. All right, let's get to it. So the big talk right now, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
It all started with Sean Payton at the owners' meetings and an interview, and he was asked by him, and he said that he liked him. He said, man, you could just tell the guy's a leader and ooze out. Now it's everything everybody's talking about. And I mean, it's polarizing. It's some people think it's something. Some people think that that we shouldn't do it. So I don't know. Me, I'm kind of caught in the middle. And here's where I think initially I'm against it. But then the thought, it's like that fear of loss. What if he does turn into the next Michael Vick? What if he does? But you don't know that. You don't know that. And so here's where the problem comes in. It's like, boy,
time to start beating dogs.
Yeah, what? All right. I don't know what he does for hobbies, but here's the thing: the guy is he's a running quarterback. And here's my initial problem with the athletic quarterback. These guys, you build your offense around them, like RG3, and the next thing you know, you get a year of productive, exciting football, and then next thing you know, you're going a whole season where, like with Drew Brees, we are spoiled because we get 16 games out of him.
Yeah.
But you get one of these guys, and man, it's what's the other kid in Houston? I'm sorry, I can never remember his name, from Clemson. That got hurt.
Watson.
So Watson comes in there and he plays dynamite for 4 weeks, and then I know he didn't get hurt in the game, but at the end of the day, he got hurt. And so these guys, they run around.
He has a better game than this kid.
And I get it, and that's a whole separate issue. Yeah. I'm just talking about my feelings about athletic quarterbacks. And it's one of those things where maybe it's silly. Maybe it's like, well, I don't like dating pretty women because, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, you can get your heart broken. You know what I'm saying? I mean, at some point you have to go out there.
That explains it, Dave. Now we understand.
Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, well, it don't work with ugly women either. There's always somebody.
Yeah, there's always somewhere. Exactly. So here's the thing. I just think that, I mean, they always end up being injured. Y'all making it very difficult to make a point.
No, I mean, look, okay, so he said he liked the kid. He didn't say, I'm getting ready to draft the guy.
No.
You get beyond that, Sean Payton is famous for throwing out smoke screens and things. He loves to play with people about what he's, you know, he's not telling you anything. He didn't sit there and forecast what the Saints draft is going to be.
Tomas, I agree with that, and in hindsight, thinking about it, that's what went through my mind, is if you were really that interested in him, maybe Sean Payton looks at it and says, I would much rather blow this kid up, make everybody loves him, he's great, I think he's great, so that you can pick him before 27th, and that just means one better player is going to fall down to us.
Well, I agree with that, and again, you know, there's several things. As I posted on the Twitterverse there, you know, this is the next infatuation for all these wannabe fans who think they know how the draft is going to work, right? But Sue. Now it's Jackson. Well, okay, fine. If it makes you happy, you go right ahead. But you brought up a good point here. When you look at the quarterback Watson who went to Houston, much better feet, much better skill, has a better arm. When you go down the road with this, how many Heisman Trophy winners have gone into the NFL and become Hall of Fame quarterbacks?
Not many. I mean,
because the game doesn't translate from college to the pros.
Not the athletic quarterback.
No. It doesn't. Now, look what happened in the NFL. Just like anything else, The athletic quarterback comes out, okay, great. Don't know how to defend them. Suddenly everybody wants an athletic quarterback. Guess what? They know how to defend it now. So you have people like, say, for example, Kaepernick. He runs to the outside, boom, got tattooed. End of that. Yeah. RG3, boom, got tattooed. It's going to be no different for this kid. Whoever takes him, if they think, well, we're going to build our offense around him, okay, fine. I hope you get a couple of years out of him before, boom, tattooed, and he's gone, and that's the end of the story.
The one guy that I feel like has figured it out, Russell Wilson. When he plays, it's mind-numbing, especially when he's playing the Saints, well, at least in years past, when you at least think, man, if he runs, okay, he picked up a first down, he got 22 yards, but you can get a hit on him. He's the one guy, his eyes on the side of his head, back of his head, everywhere.
He still got
and
hurt,
he runs,
though. Last year, he still got hurt.
And he slides. And, I mean, it's going to happen. But the point is that he's a guy that just knows when to get down.
Now, right, well, but here's the thing. He also knows when to run.
There you go. No, that's what I was going to say.
And that's true,
exactly.
too.
Yeah.
And he's like the complete opposite of RG3.
RG3 bailed out. He never should have bailed out so many times, and he's going to do it with his legs, and then he gets himself creamed.
In addition to that, when he went down, I mean, it's like the guy had the worst timing. He went down just right before somebody was about to nail him, and his body would just be contorted, and his legs like one of those Simpsons or Family Guy. When it's like, you know what I mean? Like, he got slaughtered. Russell Wilson, in at least the modern day, is the only guy, in my opinion, who's an athletic quarterback who will frustrate you. He'll run. He'll get down. Nobody hits him. Not even close.
But again,
he gets the first shot.
It's like he said. He'll drop back. He'll read one. He'll read two. He'll read three. And then he finally goes, okay, now I got to go.
Well, and that's what makes him an effective runner
that's
is because
right.
he's
right.
a passer.
That's
right.
correct.
So when
that's
you know correct. You have to cover, when you don't have to cover these guys, you always have a linebacker or safety or somebody who's like playing the quarterback.
Exactly.
And when he runs, he's going to get hit. Conversely, let's just use, again, Drew Brees. If he dropped back, man, everybody's dropping into coverage. They're in their zones. They got to be disciplined. And then if he had the athleticism to take off running, how wide open would the field be? Because people are actually covering.
Sure.
When you had a Michael Vick, you almost had to say, man, we got to let him beat us with his arm. If he
exactly.
can, you know, if he can.
If he can.
Because
exactly.
if you just leave wide open guys and you doubling guys and sending safety over the top, he's going to kill you
with
his legs.
Well, this is what they're doing to Carolina now. Right?
Well,
the same thing they're doing to Carolina.
And you're just fortunate because Cam Newton has such a scatter arm that, you know, listen, you got to show us that you're going to beat us throwing the ball.
Exactly.
Well, most of those guys have scatter arms, so that's the problem.
Yep.
And looking at the film on Jackson, he's got a scatter arm.
Exactly.
He can miss some wide open guys.
I watched the NFL Network in his pro day. And listen, call me arrogant. I could go out there right now. And excluding drops, I mean, he's overthrowing. I mean, the balls are like, if it wouldn't be for these receivers reaching up way, swing passes, simple passes, 1, 2, 3, just rotate your hips, throw over to the flat. I can still complete those passes, and he's winging them over their head. Not all of them, but to me, like, it shouldn't be 75% completion with shorts and no defense.
Right.
You need to be up in the 95, and there were three drops.
Right.
And I mean, I watched it. And I'm just like, look, and I'm not sitting here acting like I'm breaking him down like a scout, but I'm just watching him as a person watch football and said, if that was a game and that was 3rd and 3 and all he had to do was get it to that running back, he missed him.
Yeah.
And so what happens when there's a game and there's a pass rush and there's all kinds of people flying around and you need this 3rd down conversion and he looks over there and he throws it over his head? I mean, as a Saints fan or a follower or someone who's intently watching the game, that's got to drive you crazy.
It does. Here's the thing more though, as it relates to the Saints with Jackson. The Saints are not going to draft Jackson.
No.
And it's not going to have anything to do with his talent or whether he's a running guy or how scattered, you know. Sean Payton has the same sense of, we have an opportunity here and time is getting short.
Yes,
with Drew Brees and
absolutely.
All. And he's going to use his picks on guys that are going to be more immediate help, not for a guy that's going to sit on the bench and might play in 2 or 3 years when Drew finally decides
right.
he's done.
That's true. Plus the fact that he'd have to completely redesign the offense when that time did come.
You see,
because he can't play the offense that Brees is playing right now.
I feel you. I feel like that's what good coaches do. They say, hey, man, this is my best players. I'm going to find a way to use them. Now, to me, and this is kind of switching gears a bit, because I agree. The Saints aren't drafting him. And not to mention, here's the next thing. I don't think, even though I'm saying the Saints won't draft him, I don't know if he's going to get to 27. Somebody's going to say,
we can make
that happen.
Sure. And here's happens.
And here's the problem. Whether it's him or any of the other quarterbacks, we don't have a second round pick.
As of now.
As of now. But the point is, even if you try to get it, you're going to take ammunition. So here's the thing. How are you going to manipulate and move up in the draft, not fill the holes? Because I have another note that I wrote down, and I'm like, everybody talks, and I know y'all, at least Tomas, I know you're going to really disagree with this. Everybody wants to say best player available. I do not think the Saints are in a position to go straight best player available right now because they have too many holes. They have holes that need to be filled in order for us to be a competitive playoff team. I'm not saying they won't do it, but here's the thing. You don't have a true viable tight end on the roster. You don't have a guy that is in a critical position, and it showed last year with our inability to convert third downs. Defensive end. We need a player defensive end. We also need playmaker, call it a wide receiver, or whatever. I mean, these are things that have to be addressed with guys who can play somewhat immediately.
Yeah.
And then when you throw into a whole nother news thing that we need to talk about is the arms race and keeping up with the Rams who just traded for Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
So these are things that have to be addressed. And while I could even argue against myself and the whole best player available thing, that's great when you have your holes filled.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't know if I said that right. When you have – you did all the things you needed to do in free agency to fill.
I won't say anything else.
Right.
That's what she said.
I wasn't going to do it, but okay.
So the thing is, I think that the Saints are in a tough spot. I don't know if they can just sit there and say, man, I'm going to pick a running back if they pop up.
I don't think the Saints are necessarily going to go BPA no matter the position. There's some places we just don't really need somebody that, you know. But – I know the Saints have never done this, and we always talk about, the Saints could be in a prime position this year to actually trade back a little bit out of 27.
I say it every year.
And still get a tight end if that's really the way they're going with their first, pick. And pick up that second round, another second rounder or third, whatever.
Sure.
And get more studs to fill them holes.
Well, there you go. Well, I think you nailed it on that one. Go ahead. Look, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to agree with you guys. And Dave said that I wasn't going to. And look, in part I agree, in part I don't, okay? Like Heath said, let's say, for example, for some odd reason, the best running back in the NFL draft falls to 27. The Saints are not going to pick him, even if he's the BPA, okay? It's not going to happen. However, when you look at the way teams put a board together, oftentimes when you look at the top 50 players, there are many players who are tied. So you'll have at number 27, you'll have a running back, an offensive lineman, that they're all right there at the same
time. Right. They
number.
Have similar grades.
So when you say BPA, you're still talking BPA because it'll be a BPA that fits into the scheme of what they're looking to draft. It may not be a necessity. I know a lot of people will be very upset if we draft an offensive lineman. But it wouldn't shock me at all at 27 to pick up an offensive lineman. If one of these top offensive linemen is there on the board, it really wouldn't shock me. Not the way that the Saints draft. So, people be upset, we could have had Jackson. Look, if Jackson's on the board, and I said this before, if Jackson's on the board and you've got the wide receiver from Maryland, Moore, on the board, and you've got Hubbard, defensive end from Ohio State, on the board.
Right.
I guarantee you're not picking Jackson.
No, and okay, you're absolutely right. And when you put it like that, I think that makes it even – and that's the thing that we lose because we're doing this in a vacuum.
Yeah.
If you actually look at the board, if we're like, oh, man, 27 comes around, Drew Brees is going to be retiring, and Jackson's on the – but what you're not taking into consideration is what you just said, Tomas. You have, name like two of the top tight ends – the defensive end Hubbard from Ohio State and
wide receiver.
Yeah, a wide receiver that the Saints like. And the Saints are going to look at that and be like, two of the three guys here will help us immediately. And even if we do like Jackson, do we like him so much? Because if he was that great, if we liked him that much,
he wouldn't be
at 27.
That's correct.
So the whole thing just really reeks of. And I hate acting like I can tell what Sean Payton's thinking or doing or anybody's doing. It's just speculation. But logic just simply says that he won't make it to 27. If he does make it to 27, that would pretty much tell you that teams don't have
– Well, I have him making it to 27. See, now, I can't tell you how other people do mock drafts. I'm going to tell you how I do it. When I do it, I put a board together. So I have 100 players on my board, and I'm looking at them saying, okay, if this guy goes here, who do I have left that's ranked at the same number? What do they need? I usually have three choices for every team of need. You know, and that's how I do my draft, my mock drafts. I don't just go say, well, if he's gone, you know, the next guy on the top 100 list is, you know, I don't, you know, like we do our fantasy draft,
sure.
Right? Who's the next guy up? You know, okay, what to pick yeah. him, right? I don't do it that way. I have a 100 player board that I try to choose from. So when I do that, then it's like I'm saying, suddenly I have several players who all rank at the same level. So then you can go for best player available to your need, right. Not to your want.
And that's, again, that's how it, not just usually, it always shapes out. And the further you go down the draft board, the deeper you get. Like, there might be in any given draft, 1 year, there's six blue chip players. The drop off from 6 to 7 is huge.
Exactly.
Or sometimes, I mean, it's a deep draft. Maybe it's 12 guys that are blue chippers. Some years, it's only 2 guys. The point is once you get to 27, the groupings are bigger. You're going to have 17 guys to choose from in the second round.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's like,
hey, we're going for the best player available of this group of 17.
Yes. Yeah.
And this guy fits a need, so that's who we're going for. So it does change things. Hey, when we come back, we need to take a hotline call. 701-901-1295. I didn't even give you a chance to
ask me enough.
Hey, it's Dave, Heath, Tomas, the BS and Beer Podcast, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower that this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio here on Sports Talk 97.7 here at the SEC Sports Pub. Listen, one of the things that that I thought we'd mention, and I had it last week and kind of forgot to talk about it, but I thought it was pretty interesting. The ESPN does their power rankings, and we, the New Orleans Saints, moved up 2 places.
Yeah. Number 4.
Number 1, Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles.
Eagles.
The Eagles. Yeah. That's the new name, I guess. Yeah. All right. I struggle with names, never the Eagles, but I guess there's a new thing for everything. So New England Patriots, number 2. Minnesota Vikings, number 3. And at number 4 now, your New Orleans Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh Steelers at number 5. The Rams at number 6.
That was before the Brandon Cooks trade.
Well, before the Cooks trade, and it may have been before Sue signed.
That's true, too.
So, I mean, just on public impression, public opinion, I think they'll be moving up the charts there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then Atlanta Falcons, as Tomas likes to refer to them
That's the correct name.
7. And let's see here. Green Bay. No, I take that back. The Jacksonville Jaguars at 8. Green Bay Packers at number 9. And rounding out the top 10, the Houston Texans. And I have to imagine, because they have on the side here how many places they went up or down.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans are up 15 spots. I don't know exactly what they did in the offseason that would say they went from.
They just signed that the defensive back.
Oh, the Honey Badger.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They've had a couple of signings.
But still, 15 spots.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot. You know, J.J. Watt even coming back? I mean.
I don't even know.
I mean, the guy's
still in the league a while. Like, I don't know what's going on.
I know he did a lot of good things in the offseason, but I think he broke his.
Cushing's gone, too, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think he tore a flactoid muscle.
Flactoid.
Yeah, tore the flactoid muscle. Okay. And those things I hear, it's hard.
He broke his Gronkowski bone.
Yeah, it's hard. And Gronkowski, too, I guess there was all kind of speculation whether or not he would be coming back.
Fed up with Belichick.
Is he? Did he say that?
That's what the A's said.
Two teams are putting together some trade.
No, that was the headlines.
Yeah, two teams are offering trade to, you know, for him.
Oh, okay, well, if he's going to get traded, then if they're going to get something,
I understand the Saints are willing to trade Freeman. It would have made sense if I could have said his name. I'm getting
the Davitis out there.
Davitis at Fleener. They were offering Fleener in a future draft pick for him.
Oh boy. Okay, So
it would have been funny if I could have gotten it out.
I'm going to give a little credit. Yeah, let's move on. All right. Yeah.
If you say so.
No, that's one of those fun. That's one of those things. It's not fair. Nobody laughs. Or I'm moving on. I'm reading the next thing, trying to think of where the show's going. Tomas is like standing there with his hands out, like what?
Hey, don't let me hang
on. All right.
I got no respect.
So
I went to the doctor. Benny Boomba.
And we talk about them. My favorite message board, SaintsReport.com, Bonchi. And I hope I'm pronouncing that properly. We're talking a little bit more about Lamar Jackson, and he came out with some interesting stats. Now hold on a second, and let me maybe preface this by saying I read on Twitter some guy came up with other high level, like Pro Bowl level, Hall of Fame level quarterbacks who scored poorly on the Wonderlic. Yeah. If you're not aware of this, Lamar Jackson scored a 13. Now we can get into the argument of these tests, they don't apply, and it's not, you know, it doesn't mean anything. And quite frankly, I think it does mean something. Now, does it mean you're going to be great or not be great? No, but it does mean something. To try to act like being intelligent, especially at the quarterback position, doesn't mean anything. It's just nonsense. Having said that, I also know that you don't have to be the most book smart person to be an intelligent person. But it was interesting that this person on Twitter listed out, and I wish I could remember their name. They listed out maybe a half dozen people who were either Pro Bowl level, Super Bowl winning, or Hall of Fame level quarterbacks who all scored low. But their score, 13, was like at least 2 points lower than those guys.
Yeah.
And like Terry Bradshaw didn't do very well, but he was like maybe 18.
Right.
And things like that. But everyone on that list was an old quarterback from not this generation of football, let's say. So one of the things he said, the average score for Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in the last 20 years, which I think that goes back to encompass this generation of football, 30.7. Now, does that mean there can't be an exception? Sure. Having said that, you win in Super Bowls, your quarterback is scoring about 30 on the Wonderlic. So I do think that that's something that has to be taken in consideration.
Yeah. I can't remember. It wasn't a quarterback, but the Saints drafted somebody a while back. Wasn't it an offensive lineman or something that had a ridiculously bad Wonderlic score?
Mm. I don't know. I know that the quarterback from Texas, Vince Young?
Yeah.
He had a 6.
No way.
I'm telling you the truth.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, where's Vince Young at now?
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
I did not know that. Like, I've never taken those kind of standardized tests because I'm just scared of the results. Like people talk about taking like an IntelliCheck aptitude test. What do you call them?
IQ.
IQ test. Yeah. I'm scared to death to take it. I'm literally will not take it just because I'm like, look, I've done pretty well for myself, so I can make up all kind of, I'm street smart. But I am not taking that test to truly understand whether or not, relatively speaking,
I won't say anything. I'm going to let it go.
Yeah.
You know, Peyton Manning scored a 28 on his Wonderlic.
Well, you know, good, bad. I mean, you know, 30 is the number. I mean, that's.
Well, it's below your average that you're talking about. Yeah. Here's a guy who's, you know, considered a genius when he came to directing and offenses and reading defenses.
And I absolutely believe that it's a situation where, look, there are going to always be exceptions. You know what I'm saying? So the test, the only thing is sometimes I think people use that too much as a crutch and they start saying, well, these standardized tests, what most people don't realize, what goes into these tests, it's scientific. They don't just decide that they're going to just throw together some stuff and ask some questions and see what happens. And everybody's going to get the same question, so that means we can get a gauge. They test these questions, then they test them in front of like committees of people. Then they, which ones do we need to reword in a way that better suits the question? I mean, it's scientific. So it's not just some guy in a room throws some questions together and says, hey, here we have
a
Wonderlic
standardized test. I've taken a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have.
Look, I think overall it probably works out, you know, as far as the percentage, but there are always exceptions to the rule. There's guys that didn't even complete high school that became billionaires. There's guys that graduated from Harvard that were failures. There's, I mean, it's hard to say, you know.
Absolutely.
All right, wait. Now, I got some scores here for you. Okay, here you go. Josh Allen scored a 37. Josh Rosen scored a 29. Sam Darnold scored a 28. Baker Mayfield scored a 25. Lamar Jackson, 13.
Yeah.
Now, you might say, well, this doesn't really. when you look at the other quarterbacks that are on this list, the lowest score is Mayfield at 25. It's a huge drop between 25 and 13.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, what does it mean? I don't know, but I do believe it means something. So
Drew was 28, by the way, if you want to know
about
what Drew
that, yeah. So, you know.
I got a whole list of them here in front of me. Yeah. Kind of scrolling through them.
Sean Payton might have a hard time with a quarterback with a 13 on a one
yeah.
to
yeah. yeah.
Oh, and one of the other interesting things, so our own Cam Jordan was on to NFL's Total Access, you know, NFL Network.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just
yeah.
looking at me like, huh? So yeah. he was on there. And they asked him a question about
yeah,
what they think the Saints will do.
Look,
and he lit. What do you call it? Like
he just
mouthed it. Yeah, yeah. Like he didn't say it so much as he brought up yeah. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, what did you say? And he's like, well, Rankins went to Louisville. Right.
So at this point, that made me feel good, because as much as I love Cam, his record so far this offseason
uh-huh.
is horrible.
Oh, he hasn't. Okay? Yeah,
he hasn't landed a single person he's recruited. So I feel like at this point, if he said Lamar Jackson, we could pretty much bank on we don't have to worry about that.
All right. Well, okay. So time to move on to another subject. I see you doing some research right now, Tomas.
I want to give you two more.
Okay, two more. Let's hear it.
Blaine Gabbert.
42. Okay. Well, okay. So
there you go. So yeah, now it doesn't translate into being a good quarterback.
Alex Smith, 40.
Okay. What's the kid that went to that played for the Jets? The beard quarterback, very average, below average quarterback, and he scored.
Fitzpatrick. Yeah, well, he went to Harvard. Yeah,
he went to Harvard.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I think he had an unbelievable score, and I mean, it just shows you that the score doesn't mean anything. But having said that, again, we're not talking about the difference between 25 and 40. We're talking about 13. Now, Vince Young had a decent NFL career, and again, I swear, all these athletic quarterbacks who aren't, let's say, the gifted passers,
yeah,
they tend to always come out of the box just firing.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it has to do Tomas suggested that defenses figure them out. I think it just takes them that long to get enough hits on them
yeah.
to get them out of the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And here's an exception, Cam Newton. But the guy is like 320 pounds. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, linebackers hit him and they get hurt.
Yeah.
So he's the exception to the rule. He can keep running because he has the body to do it. These 210-pound quarterbacks cannot take this pounding.
Yet, if you find one of these quarterbacks that doesn't weigh as much but has a big heart, they'll keep running. See, there's a difference between that and Cam Newton. Cam Newton has no heart. So even as big as he is, well, you think about it. I'm not jumping in that pocket because I might get hurt. They had a chance to win that game. And he has no heart.
So it says a lot. I see where you're going with it. I didn't know if you were just trying to be funny or whatever. You're saying self-preservation. Yeah. Are you giving it up for the team in a Super Bowl, diving on the ball?
Decision.
And he made a business decision.
Well, okay.
A guy like RG3 is constantly giving it up for the team, even though the team might be saying, quit giving it up for us. We need you on the field.
Right. Yeah.
Which, again, I mentioned it in the first conversation or in the first segment, is that is why I am opposed to these quarterbacks, simply because – they get injured. You need to have them on the field. Listen, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew, Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. It's the home stretch. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Hey! Knock you out.
Uh-oh. Where's that horn section?
Here we go.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew here at the SEC Sports Pub. Tomas Mauricio, Heath Elson-San, Dave Romero, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. All right, they got me. I'm doing like the little pun. I'm trying to have some enthusiasm. Man, we're having a good time enjoying the show, as we always do. We don't talk enough about it now. We haven't done our dance line. We haven't done it in a while.
Soul.
Like, I think. Oh, the soul. Okay. All right. That's all used up. Listen.
Look, real quick, just before we move on, to follow up on the Wonderlic thing, okay? We were talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick. He got a 48.
Right.
There's been four guys to score 48. Fitzpatrick, Greg McElroy.
Oh,
so just
the
to
golfer.
Tell you,
no?
Yeah, exactly.
No. And tight end Kevin Curtis, I don't know. But the Saints have a 48. Wonderlic score.
Is Tomas Mauricio.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Two. All right.
Benjamin Watson.
I was going to say, that was what I thought. That's exactly what I thought. And now that you brought that up, I'm glad you brought that up, okay?
Okay.
Because, you know, I was listening like I always do when I'm at the gym, listening to our podcast, right? So I'm listening to it, and I start listening to the bonus, and I don't hear me. I don't hear my voice the whole time, okay? All I hear is, blah, 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 I hate this thing about Ben Watson. Blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you about the tight end. Let me tell you how I really feel about the tight end.
All right, so
and
maybe
I'm pedaling on the bike and I'm thinking, dude, where's my voice? I don't remember this discussion.
I may have snuck back in and threw in my own opinion about the Ben Watson thing after you guys left.
Now, but 48 is a symbolic number with Ben Watson.
That's his age right
that's
now.
That's also his age, yes. big number.
But that's also how many more catches he has.
Yeah, that's true.
Good point.
Right? You know what, man? This crack staff that we have with all the in depth statistical analysis, man.
You won't find this kind of stuff anywhere.
No, not anywhere else. All right, so check it out. Let's get to a hotline call.
Hey guys, this is Patrick from Austin. I love your show and look forward to it every week. Just want to say, during this off season, I think the unsung hero of the Saints improvement Jeff Ireland, plus the folks in the pro personnel department. Whatever change happened there a couple of years ago really has made a difference. We went from drafting Stanley Jean-Baptiste to drafting Marcus Williams and lots of other great players, and you've just seen the talent improve in the past 2 years to where up and down the field there's guys you enjoy watching, not guys where you're just shaking your head. And I think those have been the unsung heroes of the Saints' improvements. Thanks for all the work you do. Bye.
Patrick, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Spot on.
Listen, I don't know what else to add to that. I mean, like, you just nailed it. Like, things are our fortunes, our future, as Saints followers, as Saints fans, changed when Ireland came in and all these drafts.
Yeah.
The last two drafts absolutely nailed it. Last year, specifically.
Four number ones, really.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that last week. Four number ones, if you really want to, Marcus Williams, Kamara, and then obviously the two first-round draft picks.
Right.
And here's the thing, is we still have younger guys like Hendrickson, for example, and even Muhammad, who we haven't seen. These are guys who are taking the normal path, which is 2 or 3 years to develop.
Right.
And, unlike all the other guys in Kamara and Ramczyk and obviously Lattimore, who developed immediately and were impact players as rookies.
Sure, and two more guys. I always say his name wrong. Levin, is that how you say his name instead
of Levin?
Levin.
Yeah.
And then the guy from England. That's two more defensive linemen that are going to, you know, they took time to develop. Maybe they'll come around this year. We might be shocked at what we get from these two guys, too. And it all goes back to having changed. And not only did they bring in Ireland, as Patrick said, they also got rid of all of the scouts.
Right.
Yeah.
They completely revamped the entire
scouting department.
Yeah.
You know, and that made a huge difference. And now they also purged out all the deadwood in coaching.
Yeah, you know, man, that is a thing that doesn't get talked about, and I'll be the first to say, you know, it's one of those things where, hey, man, we won a Super Bowl with them, but you cannot talk more. We don't talk enough, I should say, about the coaching changes from Vitt to Johnson and what difference it's made on the team. And, again, I'm not even going to say it means they were bad coaches. Sometimes they just lose the message, or you've been doing something so long you just get complacent.
Think about this. Who's the number one, according to most people, defensive lineman going to be picked in this draft? Chubb, right?
Yeah, Chubb, yeah.
And what school does he go to? North Carolina State. Who was the defensive line coach at North Carolina State?
Oh, Saints guy.
The Saints guy. That is correct.
Wow.
You know?
Good point.
So you just think about that. Now he's coaching in the pros. And there's another guy at North Carolina. I don't want to give away my number three yet. But you know, my mock draft. But there's another guy there who I really like on their defensive line, too, who the Saints might be in a position to take in. So changing the coaching staff has made a huge difference. Changing the
scouting department,
another huge difference. And that is why I think the last 2 years we've really turned the corner.
Yeah. I mean, we used to talk about it all the time. You got to have these contributors that you draft and on rookie contracts.
Exactly.
And the Saints for so long missed so bad.
Time and time again.
And then, you know, bringing in Ireland and the whole change and everything, we got guys that can actually get that done now, obviously.
Well, and think about, like, just piggybacking off of your point, Heath, you're looking at, like, I mean, top five guy in Lattimore.
Yeah.
Ramchek, you know, I mean, I don't know what number you'd put him at, but
top
offensive tackle in the league.
Yeah.
Then you safety. These guys are making peanuts. Look at the free agency this past season. Lattimore should be costing $15 million a year, but instead maybe, I don't know exactly, $2 million. Maybe $3 million,
whatever
you know,
it is.
And same thing with Williams at safety, right tackle, and that's what's scary. When we talk about this window, and we talk about the Drew Brees window, it's not just Drew Brees.
No, you
have like a 3-year window, like Rankins, underappreciated, and probably it'd be nice. And this is one of the reasons with the whole Sue thing. I want to get Sue. You know, it's that Sue would allowed him to be more of a disruptor by taking up and eating up blocks. Now. That's what Rankin does for Cam Jordan is he's the disruptor or the guy that soaks up the blocks. He eats up the blocks while Cam Jordan's the disruptor. And that's why I'm still would like to see some more depth at defensive tackle or my dude David Onyemata.
2019 then. I see.
But
Sue in 2019.
Yeah. 2019. That's the first thing I said after he signed. 2019. Yeah. 1-year contract. So you're saying there's a chance, baby. All right. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Patrick. Let's get to some deja vu. Brandon Cooks gets traded again.
That's correct.
Tomas, you have those numbers?
Yes, sir.
All right.
He got traded from the Patriots.
The Patriots.
Mm-hmm. And the Patriots said, you know what, we can't sign this guy, so let's get rid of him. He can't run all the routes anyway, so let's just get rid of him.
Oh, boy.
All he can do is just run down the field. He doesn't want to do that. He's become a nuisance.
I already complained about not getting enough balls thrown his way in the locker room.
That's it.
Was he just doing too many clear out routes for Gronkowski?
Yeah.
That's correct. And for Amendola.
There you go.
And so he gets traded to the Rams. Now, the Patriots, I don't know how these guys, they're thieves, right? So they get a number one, just like the Saints got a number one, only their number one's further up.
Right.
They had to give up a fourth, just like the Saints got the four, whatever, you know. But it's a one and a four. No, they get a one and a six, sorry. They give up Brandon Cooks and a four.
Right, because we gave up a four.
Right.
Yeah.
So the same thing. So they gave up Brandon Cooks and a four.
Okay.
They get a number one and a number six.
Okay.
But their number one is higher than the one that we got from them.
Right.
So after a year of being on the team, they get back better than what they had to give up.
And you know, and I mean, look, he's still young. He came into the league pretty young.
Yeah, but see, the whole thing is they know they can't sign this guy for 14.
It all boils down. Now, the other things that tells me, though, is, okay, you have him when you got him from the Saints, you had 2 years under a great contract. Because Brandon Cooks is a good receiver.
Yes, that's not
I mean, I realize he's kind of a specialized receiver. He doesn't run the entire route tree kind of thing. He's not a big guy. He obviously can't take a hit because look at him in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. He got blasted.
Yeah, he did get blasted.
But they got him for 2 years at a great deal.
Right. They only kept him for one, though.
And they only kept him for one. And what does that say about next year? Or else, what do you, Tomas, like you think it was just like they were sitting around and like, I mean, these guys offered us what we got from the Saints better.
And listen, if I have to keep him one more year. If I have to keep him one more year, I'm looking at $14 to $16 million a year for this guy.
Right.
We ain't paying that.
They probably did what the Saints said, man. Let him go. We can go sign a 37-year-old guy that can run the same clear out.
We could train Ben Watson.
Yeah, so it's Ben Watson, or we could send him Ginn.
Yeah, now just imagine, though, talking about that, you know, how much is it going to cost us to sign Michael Thomas? If this guy's looking for $14 to $16 million when his time comes up, and he can't run the routes like Michael Thomas does.
Yeah, but Michael Thomas can't do everything he does. So it's one of those things.
One thing, he can't run down the field at 7,000 miles an hour.
He doesn't have the speed. Did you see how he took that hit in the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen Thomas take a hit like that. So, I mean, you know, it's a
I think Thomas would survive that hit a lot better than
a skill. Yeah, Michael Thomas.
Don't you remember the Minnesota game where they said that he took a cheap shot at the other guy?
Oh, my God. He knocked that guy out.
He knocked the guy out. Knocked the guy.
So Cooks can go. What's he going to do? He's going to go run clear outs for Robert Woods now? Yeah. What do you got with the Rams?
Yeah.
They even got Watson anymore.
They lost everybody.
Watkins.
Yeah,
Watkins. They lost everybody. But here's the thing. Let's talk about the Rams and the arms race. Tomas, I already know what you're going to say. Well, it don't mean nothing. Everything's great. The Saints still ahead. I mean, listen.
So next year, we will get to see Lattimore shut this guy down in a Superdome when the Rams come to town.
Who cooks?
Yeah.
I mean, they just like you did against the Patriots.
That's right. 15 yards. That's all he got.
Yeah. So if you didn't know by what Heath just said, the Rams will be playing New Orleans this season. That's correct. So, and I tell you, they're off season, man. Tomas, I know you're going to come up. Go ahead, give me the good news, because the Rams are collecting talent. Now, the only thing I'll say, there's no doubting that they have collected talent. The thing that maybe this is the homer, the black and gold glasses, is now you got the personalities of Brandon Cooks, which I don't think is horrible, but it's obviously not team first attitude. Tlaib, what's the kid, the cornerback from the Chiefs?
Peters.
And who else? And the Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of strong personalities in that locker room.
Yeah.
And, you know, the alpha dog, when mm-hmm. you know, too many.
Let's see if it works out any better for them than it did for the Redskins.
When they did the whole.
Yeah, they did the whole superstar at every, you know, every
by the,
superstar.
By the Super Bowl is, thing,
the
it didn't work.
Did the same thing, and they came out 8-8 when they did it that year.
Yeah.
A couple of years back. So
it takes a lot more than just having a bunch of talented guys. You have to have a team. It's a team sport. And so there are a lot of people talking about teams, right, you know, the arms race. Look, let's just look at our division. I don't really care about the Rams. They're not my division, okay? I'm more interested in what did Atlanta do? Nothing. I'm happy with that. What did Carolina do? Not much else. I'm happy with that. But I'm concerned about what did Tampa Bay do? Yeah.
I swear you disagreed with me when I said this last week. Well, because Tampa Bay, I mean, look, remember I even said they played Atlanta tough like the last three games of the season.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is they picked up some people that are now positives on their team. Not as individuals, but as a team. That's the point I'm trying to make.
I'm concerned about Tampa Bay because they weren't that far off.
Right, they have a real kicker now, so now we have to be careful.
Yes, the kicker. You have to keep that into consideration.
But I'm still working. Yeah, look, I don't worry. As long as I got King Crab Leg back there.
Well, that's the whole thing. Yeah. I mean, they have a ton of talent last year and the year before, and it didn't turn into anything.
Well, and the
so
scary
we'll
thing, though, is, I mean, look, things can turn quickly if that kid matures a little bit, and it does happen. Let's not act like everybody comes in, never grows up. If the guy has talent, and if Winston can play like he did in the last three games, he played Atlanta tough, should have beat him, played Carolina tough, should have beat him, played New Orleans, and let's not kid ourselves, New Orleans technically needed that game and lost. So they are not going to be an easy team. Hopefully it's like every other year, Tampa Bay's just dysfunctional and we don't have to worry about them because they have a lot of talent.
Okay, yeah. But here's the card that we just have to know about playing. Who is their head coach and who's their defensive coordinator? As long as they got rejects from Atlanta Falcons, I'm not really too worried about Tampa Bay. Okay, yeah. Because that's one of the things I did want to talk about was the impact of coaching in the draft.
All right. Well, we'll have to bring that up. Listen, you got any final thoughts? No? Okay, great. That's all the show that we have for you guys this week. Thank you, as usual, for following the show. Please follow us on Twitter. Send us your hotline calls. We appreciate all the support. For Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast on Sports Talk 97.7 FM.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists. Writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Everyone is a so dumb, miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, bye, don't.